let's give Pastor Chip a big hand as he comes forward.
Can you take that? Thank you. Okay, praise God. Well, I'm next. All right, give me a G. Somebody give me a G up here or something. Praise God. Oh. Release. At my church, other people do that for me. I don't know. Maybe I should practice that. Man, I love the songs about the blood. If that was the voice, I'd have turned my chair twice.
Yeah.
That was anointed. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for the anointing. Aren't you glad for the anointing? I even saw in one of those shows a lady turned, one of those stars turned and said, the only thing I can say about that song is it was anointed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And see, that's what God needs, anointed songs.
Amen.
The anointing. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. And he went about doing good. And he had power doing good. See, Jesus couldn't... It says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He wasn't Jesus Christ yet. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. So Jesus needed the anointing to do what he did, and so do we.
Amen.
Say, I am anointed.
I am anointed.
You should say that every day.
Amen.
You should pray that way. You ought to, man, I'm anointed to do what God's called me to do. Could you imagine our praise and worship team all across saying, I'm anointed to sing. I'm anointed to play. Our pastor saying, I'm anointed to preach. You need to speak it. Jesus did. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Didn't he? For he has anointed me.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Amen. He said that all throughout the Galilee. Yeah. Everywhere he preached, he said, I'm anointed. So get ready. That means it ain't just me. The Holy Ghost is involved in this thing. And that's the thing that raised him from the dead. Glory to God. Lord, I am anointed. Thank you for the anointing. You said to believe it and speak it, and so I do. Glory to God. Those blood songs, man, I'm covered. That reminds me of my mama, who wrote a book called The Blood and the Glory back in the 70s. Not many people were saying stuff like that, just a few. And mama would cover me with that blood everywhere I went. My goodness. And she did it even when I didn't think it was cool. It embarrassed me most of the time. I'd be on dates with girls who didn't even go to church, you know. And mama would run out that door. Wait, I hadn't covered the blood. I hadn't pleaded the blood yet. And so she would put her hands on that car. I plead the blood over this car from bumper to bumper, side to side, front to back, top to bottom, every working, non-working part. Everybody who drives in it and rides in it, no matter where they go, nobody will bump them and they'll bump nobody. In Jesus' name, amen. So my date's like, what does she mean, the blood? They would think that she's actually going to get like goat's blood or something and pour it on something. And so she would get us out and plead the blood over me. She'd do it over our football teams that come over, anybody. And we need more mamas. And man, it saved my life so many times. Oh, there's power in the blood. There's guys that we would go out partying even when I wasn't living for God and stuff, and they'd go and something would happen and we were saved by it or something, and they all went, it's that blood thing your mama does. And what was cool about that was even they saw the power in the blood. How many know there's power in the blood? Power in the blood. Okay, y'all left me hanging on that one. All right. Glory to God. So she'd lay hands on me, plead the blood of Jesus over me, and then she'd get to my date, and knowing in the spirit that it probably wasn't the right one for me to marry. Nothing against her, but she had a part to play in picking out who I was supposed to marry. And she'd go, honey, what's your name? Chip, this one's different than last time. And she'd smile. And because she said that, it would be different the next time. But, praise the Lord. Thank God for Mama.
Yeah.
I'm going to see Mama preach tomorrow at Eagle Mountain with at Brother Copeland's ministers conference. So glory to God, I get to go to that. I'll be right down the road. Now, I'm excited about tonight. Are y'all excited?
Yeah.
Woo, did you come on a good night? Because I went to God, and this is how I am being in sports and coaching in my background. Athletes or champions, whatever you want to say, want to know what it's all about. What is the purpose of everything? And so I went after this, and I was preaching with Mom, and we were having a conference in Norman, Oklahoma, home of the Sooners. Boomer! Anyway. Too many Longhorn fans here. All right. Just repent. Y'all repent real quick. Now, I'm playing. Come on. All right. And so it was on the campus, and they let us use this beautiful theater. And it was an authority conference. And it was because we were having it there because they had those tornadoes that came through Moore, Oklahoma. Remember those two that came in? I mean, the base was a mile wide. And so we were talking authority. So I was getting ready for this conference, praying. And I heard the Lord say this in my spirit. He said, dial it in. I heard dial it in. So I'm thinking, and I was on the right track, dial it in like a scope would dial, or like binoculars would dial it in. Zero in focus. Yeah, somebody. Dial it in. In other words, he wants me to see something that I'm not seeing. Okay, so here I am focused on authority, and here I am looking at it, right? Okay, and he wants me to see, this is how I picked it up, something beyond here that connects that, but it'll help you with that. So I prayed in the Spirit and prayed it out, and it came. And that's the Lord will show you. And it was the blood. And so if there was no bloodshed, we would have no authority. And I got real excited about that connection, and we need to know and make much of the blood. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for the blood. So I got excited about that, and I'm adding it to my notes and all this, and I hear it again, dial it in. Huh. So he wants me to dial it in even further, right? So dink, dink, dink. So I dialed it in, prayed in the Spirit. I don't know how many hours, whatever. Didn't matter if it was days. And he showed me, and it was covenant. Because that's what blood's about, is covenant. Every Jew knows that when you make covenant, words are spoken and blood is shed. And so I dialed in on the covenant. And the covenant, you know, and man, he started showing me stuff about being covenant-minded. Woo, son. I don't know if I preached that here, but I need to.
Yeah.
Covenant-minded. And he showed me about Abram, his first, you know, how he made covenant with Abram. So here's Abram. Right? And then here's, this will be the divider. Here's Abraham. Same fella, right? But what's the difference? It's the same guy, different name, but what's the difference? The covenant. The covenant's when he changed his name. God changed his name to Abraham, father of many nations. It was the covenant. Abram is not covenant-minded. Now, he loves God. There are a lot of Christians, and I was one, that love God but are not covenant-minded. When you're covenant-minded, you are not alone. David is a great example. You won't be afraid of no Philistine, no giant, no lion or bear. You're not going to be afraid of sickness or pop or anything like that because you're not alone. Covenant-minded, man, when you go through the covenant and what they knew about it, and whatever's mine is yours and yours is mine. Man, and they did the blood covenant, all of that stuff. Man, that was big back then. And so Abram's like, what? Who am I? I'm old. I can't. I don't. I won't. You know, question. Now, he loved God. God-fearing man. But when he had the covenant, he was like fully persuaded and totally convinced. God, what do you want me to do? Sacrifice my son? Let's go. Now, Abram never would have done it. But Abraham did. Are y'all with me? And that's why David said at the Goliath, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Why did he say that? He doesn't have a covenant. He shouted it out so loud, he wanted his brothers and the rest of Israel who was hiding in fear, who knew about covenant, but had forgotten their covenant. He doesn't have a covenant. It's a win-win. Right? And so, I get the covenant, and then God just keeps dialing it in. And it was about souls, and that covenant was shed, and that blood was shed for souls. And I shared that with some of the men last night. And then when I got the souls, I preached that at a somewhere, and Mama was there. And Mama came up to me. You got to know Mom. She looked at me with those eyes, you know. And she said, that was wonderful, anointed. And I said, thank you, Mama, you know. She goes, but there's one more thing. And I go, what is it? She goes, I believe the Lord will reveal it to you. Well, maybe he's busy. No, he'll reveal it to you. Mama, go ahead. He'll reveal it to you. So she'd call me in about a week. Does he reveal it to you? And I'd try to trick her. Yeah, kind of, you know. And I couldn't trick her. So I had to dig deep, and I dug, and I prayed and all that, and the Lord showed me. And this is what it's about. And it's actually a story that has been started so long ago by God, the story. And it's still continuing on today, and you're in this story. And it's called the story of the glory. My God, did I not realize this? He opened my eyes on stuff. Do you realize that the glory that God donned on man when he made him, that word glory is the heaviness of everything of the goodness of God. No darkness, all light, no sickness, no cancer, no poverty, no lack, no nothing. Everything heavy with goodness.
Ooh, praise God.
And that's what he crowned man with.
My.
What an honor. What an honor. So the Lord gave it to me like this to present it to you, to let you know that you're in this story, and the story's not over. And you need to realize. Are y'all ready for story time? Are you sure? All right, here we go. Paul tells us who God is in Ephesians 1:17. Let's look at it. Everybody look up here, because we're going to go quickly. Instead of thumbing through, you want to jot down the scripture, that's fine. But watch this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the who?
Father.
Everybody say it.
Father.
I still see some mouths not opening. Everybody.
Father.
So who is God?
Father.
What's on his business card?
Father.
The Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of time. So God is who?
Father.
All right, the Father of glory. Now, Jesus, James 2:1. Let's look at this. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the who?
Lord.
Wow, it went way down on that one. Who?
Lord of glory.
So who's Jesus?
The Lord of glory.
So what's on his business card?
The Lord of glory.
So God is who?
Father of glory.
Jesus is who?
Lord of glory.
Are y'all getting this? All right. Now, God is the Father of glory, and he creates man, and he crowns him. The Father of glory crowns man with glory. That was the original clothes of man. Not glory, faded glory. Thank you for that, some of y'all that know what I'm talking about. Not skinny jeans. The glory. All right, now, let's go to Psalms 8, 4 through 5. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, which actually is Elohim, God, and hast crowned him with what?
Glory.
Glory and honor. Now, we get into the New Testament, and we find out that there's a scripture that says, well, let's go to it, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. Now, this is what sin will do. And come what? So when Adam sinned, right? When he partook of that, what he was not supposed to do, what happened? He fell short of the glory that God originally crowned him with. Don't you know that Satan laughed? Can you imagine? Now, think about this for a second. And I never thought of this. God showed it to me. What was Satan after? Now, everybody always quotes that one scripture, he steals, kills, and destroys, but what's he after to steal? What's he after to kill? What's he after to... Come on, somebody. Because when he went into that garden, Adam and Eve were still alive when he left. As a matter of fact, they lived over 900 years. So if he failed and didn't win, and he was... Well, they're still alive. He don't care how much... I mean, he'd like to get rid of you and all that, but he doesn't want you to have the original plan in the, oh, come on, my God. You can carry your Bible, you can have that bumper sticker, but if you ain't operating in that glory, you ain't nothing to him. You can live to be 120, go right ahead. I guarantee you Satan would say that right now. You want to live, go right ahead. As long as that glory is not in your presence. As long as that glory is not in your house and in your church. Well, what, they were still together. They weren't split up when he left. He was after the glory. Now, he himself couldn't don it. He couldn't take it. And I believe that's just where the spirit of socialism and different things, communism, different things like you can't have it, I can't have it, you can't either. That type of deal, that spirit of it. But I'm not going to get into that. So man could no longer endure the glory that was meant for him when this whole thing started. Are you right? Are y'all with me? Okay. So in the Old Testament, Moses had to turn away from God. Why? Because he couldn't endure the glory. In the Old Testament, God's glory stood behind a thick curtain in the Holy of Holies, and the priest alone would come in once a year at the Day of Atonement. And then he took great precautions. Why? The Father of glory, the all-consuming fire, would be there. Well, what did it consume? Sin. Don't you remember? Don't you remember David? And he brought the ark, and he was supposed to bring it the way he was supposed to, and the glory was in there, right? And rather than the way God had instructed to, and the oxen slips, and he falls, and the man reaches up and touches. Sin make contact with it. Well, man fell short of the glory. All have sinned and fell short of the glory. Okay? So, man could no longer endure it. And Satan, I'm sure, thinks that he has won. But here is what you got to understand. God is the planner. He didn't have to do anything. He already had it planned out. Now, this is interesting. God had a plan. And the plan began before the foundation of the earth. God didn't need to do anything. He already had done it. The plan was a mystery. Everybody say mystery. Now, you're going to learn something today, right now. The plan of God in the New Testament is called the mystery. If you read the Bible, you'll find that out. In the New Testament. Now, I read the Companion Bible, and it translates the word mystery, a secret or something concealed that will be revealed. All right? That is what mystery means, or the plan of God. So if you never saw a pulpit and I had a sheet over it, you never seen one. And I said, and I lift that up and I reveal it to you. And you all go, ooh, oh, wow. That'll be nice for books and whatever. And but here's the thing. Even before I revealed it, watch this, even before I, ta-da, even before I did that, it was always there. Are you with me? The plan of God, the mystery of God, is always there. Ta-da! Now watch this. But the ta-da didn't come yet. Now, so the mystery, can you imagine the prophets of old in the Old Testament? They prophesied about it. And they probably wondered whom and what they were talking about. And then the gospel writers penned it. And they didn't have a clue until it was revealed to Paul. And then Paul gets the revelation, the ta-da. God reveals the mystery of the church, or like I call it, Operation Glory. The story of the glory. It's almost like God and the Spirit took Paul into this room, and the room on it said top secret. And Paul, God takes him in there. Come on. And they're in there with flashlights. No, you can add that if you want to. They're zipping down. No, I don't know. I could just go on and on. And then they open up this filing cabinet. And they pull out this file. And on that file is Operation Glory. This is the story of the glory. Okay? Now, so Paul talks about this mystery because it was revealed to him. The ta-da came to Paul. And he writes about it. It's in here. And so, let's look in the scriptures. Romans 16, 25. Everybody looking up here? Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the what? According to the ta-da, the revelation of the mystery. What's mystery? A secret that will be revealed. What is it? It is the plan of God, which was kept secret since when? Since when? It was kept secret since the world began, but now it is no longer secret. It's a revelation. Glory to God. Click. All right? And to make all. How many?
All.
How many?
All.
You know what the Greek word for all is? All. Thank you. And make all men see what is the fellowship, the word fellowship, partnership, and partakership. Your partners and partakers of this plan. That means when you're a partner of the plan, you get the profits of the plan. To who? All men. What? The mystery. The plan of God. The secret that he revealed to me. We had flashed. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Praise God. What verse is that? Oh, okay. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 and 7. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Click. But we speak the wisdom of God in what? And that's the plan of God, the secret to be revealed. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained when? When? For what reason? Oh. He did it when? And he did it why? Okay. Now, you ain't getting this one. Now, what is it? 2:7? Let's look at it in the Amplified. Can you do that real quick? I didn't. Okay. Yet when we were among full-grown, spiritually mature Christians who were ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom, the knowledge and divine plan previously hidden. See, plan? Every time you see mystery, that's what it means. But it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age or of this world, nor of the leaders and rulers of this age who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away. Click, amplified. Hold on. But rather what we are setting forth is the wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God. Ta-da! That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages, here it comes, for our glorification. In other words, to lift us back into the glory of His presence. When I crowned man with glory, I still had a plan. Woo! So in other words, when you're born again, you are not just, we've done this, we've really done it out of order. You're not, when you get born again, sometimes we preach it like, you got to get saved from the devil and saved from hell. Well, that's part of it. But you want to know the main reason you're saved? You're saved back into the glory. Man, really? The glory that Satan can't stand. Why? Because it's the goodness and the power. It's the glorious church that we're going to become. The glory. We are special containers operating and fulfilling the glory of God. Amen. This is the story of the glory. Aren't y'all glad you're in it? Oh, let's go to verse 8 in the King James on that one. Can you go back to 8 on this one? Now watch this. Watch this guy. Is this it? Which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would have not crucified who?
The Lord of glory.
Don't say Jesus. No, no, we know that's who it is, but notice what they said. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would have never done it. If they would have known it. Satan would have never done it. So in a nutshell, Operation Glory is this. The Father of glory sent the Lord of glory to lift up the man who had once been crowned with glory, but had fallen from the glory, back into the glory of His presence. That is the story of the glory. Oh. If Satan would have known, he would have never lifted up God's spotless lamb to the altar of that cross where His innocent blood could be shed and that covenant made. To cleanse man once again so that man could stand in the glory of God's presence. Woo-hoo! Song! Ding! Makes me want to chain. Satan bite the dust. All right, y'all remember that old Carmen? All right. Son! I don't know about you, but the glory operates in me and in my family and in my household. That glory of God shines brightly on me and in me. God meant it for me. I'm saved, and therefore I was saved back into the glory. Whether I feel it or not, it doesn't go by that. That glory is in me, on me, and I truly believe the signs, wonders, and miracles, and people get saved, man, as I'm just even my shadow hits some glory on the Lord. Man, we are glorified. We're the glorious church. It's time to operate in this. It's already been ta-da. What are we waiting on? Amen. Glory to God. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Now here's the whole point of Operation Glory. Let's go to Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Even the mystery, now we know what that is, right? That's the plan of God, or that's the secret that once was concealed that will be revealed, which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. All right? Click. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory, of the mystery, of the plan. among the Gentiles, which is us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's not hope you got it. That's confident expectation, Jack, in me. When I got born again, I got born back into the glory. Now the glory, when you get born again, that's when it starts, not when it ends. That's when the process starts. The glorification process starts when you get born again. And now, what does the Bible tell us to do? Go from one degree of glory, come on somebody, to another degree, to another degree. One vine. Woohoo! Son! This is us! Paul wrote this, man. Paul got the revelation of it. Man, we're going to be, I'm telling you, you're going to be stopped in heaven by David and all of them. You got to live in the glory. How was it? Huh? David's going to go, boom, Chip. We're going to chip. Really? That's going to be you?
I went to church.
You didn't know what was going on. It was in a book. God sent it. He had Paul write it. Come on now. That was for you. Wasn't that exciting?
I don't know. Come on.
Hallelujah.
The riches of the glory. The goodness of everything heavy with the goodness of God. That's everything good. Amen. And we're in partnership. We're partakers of it.
Yes, we are.
Man, I don't want to be out of partnership or fellowship with God. And guess what sin will do? Come short of that. Now, are you still saved? Yes. But you stopped the partnership and the partaker of it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Not your relationship.
Right.
Are y'all getting?
Right.
Your partnership.
Yeah.
And the partners get all the profits.
Amen. That's right.
Sin will fall short of that. But guess what we get to do? Repent.
Yes.
And come right back in. Do you see why we get to repent? Man, you missed it. You said something. You're negative or whatever. What? God, I repented. I'm repenting all the time. I told my church the other day, my wife's like, you might want to explain to some of the new people that come in. Man, I'm repenting all the time. They're like, what are you doing? Oh, it might be just like a comment that I could allow the enemy to come in. It could be a comment like, well, you know, it, not even really mean and bad, but the Holy Spirit will help you. And it might be something like, well, you know, the church, they're usually not here at this time or whatever to give or what. Just something that like, oh, no, whoa, I repent of that right there. Or my child, you know, why don't they know any better? I repent of that. They do know.
Yes.
And they do serve the Lord.
Yes.
That's my faith statement. That's what I believe. I'm calling those things to be not as though they were.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
Aren't you glad you came tonight?
Yes.
Man, I could end right there. But riches of His glory, the hope of glory in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Satan's reaction when the first man got born again? The anointed one is coming back to abide in him, inside this man. The hope of glory is coming back. It had to be something else. So when a poor person gets born again, the process of the glorification process begins, and it doesn't stop there. You would go from one degree. So let's go and look, read this. 2 Corinthians 3:18 Amplified. 3:18. Now, it's funny because, see, these notes? I forgot. I brought the wrong deal, and I knew to preach this, but I grabbed the wrong notebook, and so I had to have my secretary run off and fax me these things. So that's why it's like this. All right. And all of us, how many? As with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God. Well, that's a good thing to do. The Word is the light. And in Him is no darkness. Amen. As in a mirror of the glory of the Lord. Are constantly being transfigured into His very own image. When? When you're in that Word. In ever-increasing splendor and from one what?
Glory.
To what? Glory to God. From one degree of glory to another degree of glory. That word degree translates rank or grade. Everybody say grade.
Grade.
So the question tonight is, what grade are you in? Now Jesus termed the phrase born again. So that means baby. Paul mentions babies. Paul mentions children. Paul mentions spiritually mature and immature. Not really to bash them, but to identify people. You know what I'm talking about? It'd be like rookies and veterans. Freshmen and seniors.
Right?
We all have to mature. When you get born again, you're going from one degree, one grade, to another. Now, how silly would it be if you go at home tonight and in the mail was a letter from Miss Johnson's third grade class? I'm just making up a name, so don't think if I hit your third grade teacher, I'm not. And you had the list from what you need to get from Walmart. Crayons, glue, don't eat it. Rulers, right? What else? Tape, whatever. And you show up, and there you are in your third grade. At the age you're at now. And you go in there in that little desk, and those little kids are looking at you like you are weird. You don't belong here. We even know that. And you're trying to get in there, and it don't really even fit. Now see how funny that is? But spiritually, we laugh at that, but spiritually, that is very true.
Right.
And the devil's laughing.
Yeah. Come on. True.
What grade are you in?
Wow.
Where are we at? One time, I preached it last Sunday. Paul said, Lord, and those who don't agree with this, that are not spiritually as mature, I believe God will reveal it to you. In other words, have you ever tried to deal with, you know, immaturity? We were all immature, right? We've all been teenagers and told to clean our room.
Yeah.
But we didn't understand why. And when we did it halfway. And we thought it was good enough. But the parent wanted it a different way and better. But that kid grows up and becomes a parent. Now he tells them, or she tells them, to clean it up. It wasn't because you weren't a good person. You just immature at the time.
Yeah.
You didn't know any better. And you half did it. You just threw stuff under the bed and kicked it in the closet. Look, it's clean. You get up here, it ain't clean. Get up here and clean it. Are y'all getting there? Well, there's Christians that are half doing it.
Yeah.
You know what that is? Immaturity. What grade are you in? Well, here's some good news. We get to go to a higher grade.
Amen.
How did he say do it? Get in that Word. That Word is the light. God will show you in that Word. I ain't got time for the Word. Oh, really, really, really. Come on, that's a bad excuse. All right, I ain't got time to go to the next grade. All right, glory to God. So are you still glad you came? Church, we're in the last days. It's time to be the church that allows God's glory to be manifested in a greater degree than ever before. Are y'all in with me on that one? Let's walk the streets with our faces shining, and men and women will get saved when they walk by. That we're called to shine. Let's go to Isaiah 59:21. For me, This is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. Now, who's speaking here?
The Lord.
The Lord. Now, this is going to be for you too, even though it's in the Old Testament. And here's why. Because God is speaking to who He's in covenant with. In the Bible, there's three groups of people, the Jews, the nations, and the church. He has covenant with two of the three. We are in one of those groups, the church. He is in covenant with the Jews and the church, right? So, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. So, this has parallel meaning. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed. Now, this is a command. This is not a suggestion. Put my words in your mouth. Put them in your seed's mouth. You know what that means? Children. What are your children hearing? Let my words come out of your mouth so your children and their friends hear you pleading the blood over them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on now. They need to hear that, not in my house, devil. That will not be played in my house. That will not be, not in here.
Amen.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Amen.
All right. So, don't let it depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your children or out of the mouth of your children's children, saith the Lord. Hence, from henceforth, don't go to the next one until I say click. From hence, don't make me come up, I'll jump. Listen, I'm just teasing. From henceforth and how long?
Forever.
Everybody say forever.
Forever.
I preached at a church in Perth, Australia. 3,000 to 5,000 people, big church. And I got to that part and I said, everybody say forever. And so we're in Australia and they all went, forever! That was the coolest thing I ever heard. I heard thousands of people say, forever. I said, say it again, forever. Oh, I started playing. I had them now. Say forever and ever, forever and ever. I said, now, say it like me, forever. And they all went, forever. So he may. Why'd you tell it? Y'all wrote notes on that. Just scratch those out. Why does he say this to everybody he's in covenant with? Well, watch what the next verse says. Now, the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. That was added in later for man's sake. So what is said next? Click. Arise. That's the Hebrew word kum. Get yourself to a higher level or grade. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Or degree. Who arise? You arise. To who? All who is in covenant with Him. And guess what you'll do when you arise? Say it.
Shine.
Survey says, say it.
Shine.
Shine, for thy light is come. You're going to a higher degree, and the glory of the Lord will be upon you. And I heard the Lord say to me one time when I was reading that, upon who? And I said, me! And I heard, not necessarily. Because that word arise is a command word in the Hebrew. It's not a suggestion, it's a command, and it means the difference between life and death. The word is kum, arise. Get yourself to a higher level. He said it to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise, kum! I command you to get up to a higher level. Higher level in your faith. Be strong and courageous. What's the opposite of strong? Weak, courageous, cowardly. He was telling Joshua, I do not need weak and cowardly people.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Whoo, son. I'm telling you, this army of the Lord's a real thing. And it's not just some little story you read about in Vacation Bible School and sang songs about. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. We are the glorious church.
Yes, we are.
Now arise in rank. Arise in glory, from one degree, from one grade to another. Amen? When you walk in love, you're arising. When you're doing the things of God, you're arising. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I said, well, not. He said, not necessarily. And I said, well, Lord, I'm in covenant with you. I'm born again. He said, it will come upon those who arise. What? When I created man, I said, choose. Now, every man has a choice. So some will be born again and then choose not to arise. God still love them? Yeah. Still going to heaven? Absolutely. Still have that relationship with Him? Yes. But not the partnership.
Wow.
Not the healing. In partnership with who? Remember in 1 John where he says, this is the message that will help you become in fellowship with God? He said, God is light. And in Him is no darkness. He could have said sickness, poverty,
yes,
not
true.
A speck of cancer.
That's true.
Hallelujah.
Nothing.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
He's only light. And you can become partners.
Christ God.
Yeah.
That means you get the profits of it. And he who fellowships in darkness, watch this, and fellowships in darkness and says he is the light, he's a liar. That's not talking about your salvation. No, you're still in relationship with him. You are lying. Like if I had a bad attitude, here I am, pastor, whatever, and I let this darkness get on me, and I hadn't been in the Word, and whatever, and I've got this bad attitude, and somebody says, hey, Chip, are you in fellowship with God? Yes! That's a lie. Now, Relationship with Him, but not fellowship. So I need to get back into the light. And you get it back into that Word, and that darkness goes. Because why? He's light. And in Him is no darkness. Walking in the light. You ever heard Mom sing that song? Of God. Walking in the light. Oh, man. Going from one degree to a higher degree. Moses said, we need to get like this. God told Moses, I'm not going to go with you stiff-necked people. I can't be there. And plus, it'll wipe you all out. And blah, 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 blah. And he knew that man couldn't handle the glory. And Moses said this to him. He said, Lord, it is your presence. In other words, your glory. It is your goodness. You have to go with us. Because that is what sets us apart from all the other people in the world. It's the glory. And so it's for those who shine. I remember one time we did a meeting in New York. And they had gotten us afterwards reservations. They had to get it months ahead to this restaurant where all the celebrities or whatever in New York went to. I would have been happy at a barbecue or something. Or catfish. Come on now, son. We ate some good catfish today.
Amen, we did.
I'd have been way more happy. What was the name of that place?
Farmhouse.
Farmhouse than this place. But there we were, and they wanted to bless me. So there we are. And it's hustle bustle, packed up, New York. And we had a Holy Ghost meeting that night. It just broke into a Holy Ghost meeting. That's what God wanted. And there were people healed. And it was awesome. We're talking about it. And this lady comes over to our table and goes, I don't know who y'all are. I don't know if you're Christians. I don't know what about you. But the glory of the Lord is all around you. And she dropped her knees and began to worship God. And we just stood up and just started worshiping God. Right there in the middle of that restaurant in New York City. Now that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, there's stories of it. John G. Lake, put it in my hand, man.
That's right.
Put that bubonic right. plague in my hand. It'll die instantly. The glory of the Lord, this vessel, is a temple of God. Smith Wigglesworth would get off trains and loads of people would fall out in the power of God. What's happened to the church? What grade are we in? What grade did we used to be in? Maybe we're battling other things and more entertainment and options and things that take our time. Maybe that's why we're not at a higher grade than we need to be. But the good news is realize who you really are.
Amen. Yes.
You are saved and born again into the glory of God. Yes. Amen? Aren't you glad? And that glory is in you. Isaiah prophesied about it. He said, all the earth will be filled with the glory of God. He saw it. That's the prophets of old. You know, so the glory is what you're saved into, right? Now, Hebrews 2, 9 and 10, this is why everything is made. Praise the Lord. Let's read this. What we do see is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels, and because he suffered death for us, thank God, we don't have to suffer death. You shouldn't have to have the fear of death. You need to get into that. If there's any fear or phobias of you, that they come, then you're afraid of dying. If you're afraid of flying, you're afraid of dying. It all comes from the root of death. But you got to understand something. Jesus took death, and he suffered it for us. The Bible said he tasted. Thank God, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, that he's given us the victory over death. Thank God. Now we can be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding. He suffered death for us. He is now crowned with what? Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. I don't know if I wanted to go the next verse or not. Did I? Yeah, one more. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, choose to bring many children, what? Into glory. Everything was made. Now, and it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader. That word in the King James is captain of our salvation. He's the captain of our salvation. Why? Who is? The Lord of glory. Why? To bring us back into glory. Because that's how this whole story started. And God, the Father of glory, still had a plan when Satan came in and sin came in and fell short. Man fell short. But he brought his son back and his blood was shed and the covenant was made. All that man could get back into the glory of God. No fear. Amen. The goodness of God. The light of God. Partners and partakers of all his prophets. Those are ours. Healing's mine. Healing is mine. I was a receiver in high school and college, football. You don't just receive, you possess it. You don't just hear and look down the field. You possess that thing. Gosh, dang, get you. And there are certain receivers that Hall of Fame quarterbacks such as Brady will find that he doesn't care if they're that big. But they're possession receivers. And they'll hold on to that thing. You take what's yours. Amen? And you become the partaker and partner. I didn't ask you if you're in relationship with him, which I will, because you need that first and foremost. But then after that, are you in fellowship with him? Because if you say you are and you're in the darkness, you lie. You're still going to heaven. You're just not going to partake of the profits and the benefits that a partner partakes in. Amen? But here's the good news, and they always say it after every one of them, you get to repent. Amen. And you're right back in fellowship. Yeah. Well, don't I need to? Do you realize the word repent? I asked Rick Renner, who's a Greek scholar. He said there is no emotion in that word at all tied in the root word or any of the family of words to repentance. Zero. He said it is a legal term. No emotion. So if there's emotion involved with it, that's your choice. You want to cry and you want to do this and you want to do that, that's your choice. But that's not required. It's a legal term. God, I repent. You believe it? Amen. It's done. It's legal. Now the adversary, the liar, the accuser of the brethren, legally is out of the picture. Yeah. You just kicked him out of the courtroom.
Yeah.
Why? Because you repent.
Yes, amen.
And now the hope of glory. All the riches of glory. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're the glorious church. Don't you think we need to hear stuff like this?
Yeah.
I like 1 Peter 1:7-9. I don't know about down here. I've sung this song and many people didn't know what I'm talking about. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perished, but through the tried with fire might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Click. I think I'm at the right one. Whom having not seen you love, and in whom now you see in him, yet believing you rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is, come on. Speakable and full. Listen to this. Whoa. Did you hear what it just said? And the half has never yet. Yeah, it has. It's been revealed. I was singing that song, and all of a sudden it came to me. The Lord said, yeah, it has. It's been told. We are the glorious church. We are the glorious. If you got glory in you, stand up, somebody. Praise God. Woo! Brother Chip, I don't feel like it. Who cares? Who says you got to feel anything? Do you believe? Raise your hands if you believe. Praise God. The glory of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, this is going to be the year of glory. This is the year of glory. From one degree to another degree. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. My body is the temple of the glory of God. Now, I'm just going to say this because, number one, you need to be in, relationship with Him. And I tell this story. I said it to the men the other day. Jesse Duplantis had that trip to heaven, and the Lord said to him, God said to him, my saddest moment's not come. It'll be the day of judgment when there will be those who chose not, who I never knew. I never had a relationship with them. That's what he said. If you go back and watch that tape and that testimony, he didn't say they weren't saved. He said, which I believe, and all that and the different terminologies, but he said, I never knew them. I never had a relationship with them. And he said, that'll be the saddest moment because I gave everybody a choice. I never made anybody get saved. You don't have to, you get to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any benefits to being saved?
Oh, yeah.
Hello? Ding. Not going to hell. Survey says, ding. That's the number one answer. Actually, saved into back into the glory. Ding! Are y'all with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo! And see, in the same way as your salvation, there are benefits and get to in giving.
Yeah.
You don't have to give. You'll still go to heaven. But man, you get to.
Amen.
What are the benefits? The windows of heaven being opened up upon you. Survey says, ding! Yeah, but I'll be without and I can't eat at the end of the month. Ah! She's looking up at the board. What are you doing? Okay. All right. So he said, I never knew him. He said, that'll be the saddest time. And I thought to myself, well, I'm saved. That was selfish. You know it? I can't wait to see Jesus chest bumping, Paul and all them, David. That'll be a great time. Find my dad. He's been there since 86. We'll have a good time. But I thought, well, what if there's people there at that moment and they make eye contact with me and they were in my meeting in Grosbeck, Texas?
Yeah.
And they look at me. Oh, God. And your name's not in there. God, I don't know. I don't want that to happen. And I don't want it to happen to any of your loved ones. So as we're filled with His glory, and we walk out of here knowing what we know now that's been revealed, we're going to shine. And we're not going to pray prayers like half-filled, fear-filled prayers for our lost loved ones. We're going to shine. Are you with me? That's what saved my mama and dad, my mom and daddy's marriage. We watched it as four kids. It meant everything. It was World War III all the time. And then all of a sudden, mama quit preaching at him and learned about the love chapter, and she began to just shine. She learned about the glory. She learned about the love walk, and she would just love him and just shine, and it changed daddy. And not only did it change daddy, it changed daddy's whole side of the family, and they all got saved. Because she shined. Us kids, we saw the shine. Thank God mama shined. And that was a command from God. For everybody in covenant, forever! Say forever.
Forever.
Oh, that's not bad. Amen. How do I shine? It's simple. Just seek God. Aren't you glad He made it simple? You know, you seek me, I'll reward you. You seek me and all these things will be added unto you. He didn't say go through this 27-step process. Get down and have a good cry for 3 days. Just repent. Amen.